Blog Talk Radio.
Words. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. It's Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. It is Saturday morning, the 14th, and we want to bid you a good day and say to keep the hope, to stay strong and allow the Lord to continue to work with you in his lives. Facebook is doing some different things with this producer setting. So I definitely want to make sure that I have myself together. These days seem to be something a little different. We are broadcasting live on our Blog Talk Radio line. Call in. You can call in at 516-666-9969. 516-666-9969. And we are very pleased this morning that we want to make sure that interesting to me can I see what they're doing? They're doing something a little bit more. Okay, wonderful. All right, there we go. Well, let's work with what we have. Again, we want to say good morning to you. We want to also bid a good day to those in Cyprus, Norway, or those that may be in Canada, continental United States, as well as Chicagoland area. Don't know what time it is in various time zones where you're at, but would like to say hello to you as just as well. Good to see James Brooks this morning. Praise God for you, Doc. Got here. Tough to see. That thing's turned around for me on my screen, so I have to figure out how to play with this thing a little bit more, but it looks to be very good. What we're going to do is we have our morning prayer, and in our morning prayer, we always want to talk to God first before we allow God. We always allow God to talk to us first before we talk to God. And so as we take a look at the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, if you have any prayer requests, you can type them in at said time. Let's go to God's word. With everything going on in today's society and with this coronavirus, not only national news, but international news, and has everyone up in an uproar. We have to depend on the Lord to carry us through this storm. Amen, somebody. All right. The Bible says, "Now Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances I am teaching to follow, so that you may live, enter and take possession of the land Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add anything to what I command you or take anything away from it." It's so important that we understand and we learn to become students of God's word, of what God would have for us to be. And he's the teacher, we're the students, and our job is not only to follow, but it's also to study and to take hold of what his instruction is and to apply it immediately to our daily lives so that we may live. You're not living if you're not following God's direction. Oh, you may be existing, but there's a difference between existing in this world for God and living in this world for God. Amen, somebody. And so we must make sure that we know the significance of both, and that we find ourselves in that capacity as well. So Moses is telling Israel, giving them the instruction. Good to see you, Christine. Praise God for you, sis. Good to have you this morning. So it says, now Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances I am teaching you to follow so that you may live, enter, and take possession of the land. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you could share this video, we'd definitely appreciate it. Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add anything to what I command you or take anything away from it. That means that what God has given us is perfect. You don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to put your 2 cents in. Don't try to do anything to adjust it. Just do as he asked you to do. Command, so that you may keep the commands of the Lord, that your God, I am giving you. Then in verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal-peor, for the Lord your God destroyed every one of you who followed Baal-peor. But you who have remained faithful to the Lord your God are all alive today. Amen. There's something about living faithful and life with the Lord. So look, I have taught you statutes and ordinances that the Lord my God has commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to possess. So we don't know where we're going. God is directing us where we're going. And so the instructions that we've been given is to prepare us and to equip us for the journey, and also in order to be able to have access to enter the land. If we don't follow them, if we try to add to them, if we try to subtract from them, if we make any adjustment whatsoever, then we will not be pleasing God, and we will find ourselves not entering the land, not receiving what God has given for us, what God has placed for us. That's why learning the tenets of the Bible, listening to God's word, helps us to grow, helps us to stay strong, and also helps us to understand how God looks at things. We always want to look at things the way we want to look at it, but we need to see things the way God sees them. Good to see you, Brian. So look, I have taught you, verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, look, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God has commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to possess. Carefully follow them. Carefully follow them. Listen to the instruction. With full care, carefully follow them. Yes, the instructions God has given, for this will show you wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the people. See, it will present you wise and present that you have understanding amongst the people. All the people will see your wisdom and see your understanding when you follow God's word to the letter. When they hear about all these statutes, they will say, this great nation is indeed a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God near it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law I set before you today? Verse 9, only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget things your eyes have seen and so that you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Isn't it interesting that not only they had the ability to be eyewitnesses, we get a chance to read the witness testimony. But they were eyewitnesses. So don't cover up or blind what it is that you see. But we also share in the because, so that you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Many times, I see you, Brother Chubby, good to have you, Doc. Much love, my brother. He said, many times our mind keeps us from doing, to staying on the straight and narrow. We want to add our 2 cents. The devil continues to try to penetrate our mind. Subliminal messages penetrate our mind. We're not pure in mind. And so what we do, we find ourselves doing what we shouldn't do. Find ourselves following things we shouldn't follow. Find ourselves living in ways we should not live. Don't let your mind slip away from that which God would have. Good morning, Mother. Good to see you. You guys can share this video. We definitely appreciate it. It's so important because in Deuteronomy chapter 7, chapter 4, we're in verse number 5. We moved on from now. Verse number 9, excuse me. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself. So we must pay attention to what we do. We must guard ourselves. We must watch ourselves. You can't really trust you because the flesh side of you will lead you to worldliness. You have to guard yourself, guard the fleshly side of you, so that you can be spiritual in mind and you can allow God's word to penetrate your mind. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't follow the things your eyes, so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen. See, what you see, what God allows you to witness, he does not want you to forget. He wants you to be to pay attention to that and to allow that to form a picture, a foundation. And he does this through experiences of your life. Do not negate the experiences that God has given you. So important. Don't turn a blind eye to what you see. Pay attention. So many times that's how we get in trouble, because we don't think we see what we see, or we don't want to recognize that what we see is really what we see. You have been given a clear vision of your situation, of your family member, of your partner, of your work, of a cause, of a problem of which you're dealing with. You have been given clarity, and you want to turn a deaf eye to it. You want to turn and act like you don't see what you see. And it could not be what I see. But God allowed you to experience that for a reason. And you may not understand that reason until further on up the road. Sometimes we don't get those lessons that we've been taught at a young age until we get to be 30 or beyond. But when you get it, notice what it says. What you see is important so that you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste, but you can slip out of a spiritual mindset. God wants to mold your mind. God wants to form your mind. You can slip from that back to worldliness because you just do not want to believe that you're seeing what it is you're seeing, or that you're hearing what it is you're hearing, or that you're following what it is that you're following. Keep in mind, folks, good to see you, Joseph Morganfield. We serve a jealous God that does not accept anyone before him. We have to be in tune with the righteousness of God. So when God allows you to see, God allows you to experience, it's for your betterment. Oh, come on. Because some of these things is tough. Death is tough to deal with. Yes, it is. a close friend calling an addiction is tough to deal with. Yes, it is. A loved one getting called on something that they shouldn't be calling and it's difficult to deal with. Yes, it is. A sickness is difficult to have to deal with. Yes, it is. But God says, my grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. We serve a more than enough God if he's Lord of your life. Now, I'm not just saying he's just somebody you see or you listen to every once in a while. When God becomes master, Adonai, when he becomes the master teacher, where there is no doubt, you follow him unequivocally, undoubtedly. You give him your full attention. When he moves, you move. Just like that. When you give God that trust, as God trusts you, as God presents you, because he trusts you to see certain things that you may not even be prepared for. Because there may be a lesson in the future that he will bring this back up. And then it will tie those empty puzzle pieces together for you to see clarity in your situation. Some things take many years to get over. There's some things that happened hereditarily in your life that may have been generations before you, and you still don't get it. Still don't understand why we can't come together, etc. Until as you get older, then you start to hear all the little pieces of the puzzle that kind of say, oh, this is why we went in a path that has divided us and not unified. When your home life becomes political and no longer becomes spiritual, you have divided yourself from God. Don't let your mind slip. Be on watch. Be on guard. That you follow to the direct iota, every dot, every T cross, what God would have for you. Look at verse 9. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so that you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Don't slip from your mind. Mom says, true, yes. Amen, Mom. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. God has entrusted the experiences, the information to you for the purpose of regenerating, or for the purpose of planting seed, for the purpose of bringing harvest even when you're off the scene. Notice what he says. Teach them, plant them in the minds, deep in the minds of your children. The stewardship God has given you, the blessing God has given you, and your grandchildren, your children's children. Continue teaching that. So not only do you teach your children, so that your children should become like the teacher, and they teach what they've learned, but now you reinforce that, so it's a double teaching to the grandchildren. Why? Because a generation has passed, or another generation has passed, and it needs to be fortified again so that it does not slip. It's part of your moral fiber. It's part of your spiritual well-being. It's part of what gives you the ability to stand. But the thing about teaching is that you can teach the wrong thing. If you're not firm on God, not firm on what God is saying, and teaching what God wants to be taught, then you can slip by teaching the wrong stuff. And you will be held accountable for what it is you teach. Because God is a jealous God. He gave you everything. All you need to do is just recite what it is that has been given to you. when you have to just share the word unadulterated. Whether you don't act like you need to believe it or not. There's a bumper sticker that says this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I want you to know today, that's blasphemy. That's literally blasphemy. Because if God said it, that settles it, whether you or I believe it or not. See, what God said is final. That's the final answer. There's no going back and questioning God. He didn't need your 2 cents when he put the direction or put the command together. He's already reviewed all the options, and he's came with the direction he wants to go. And so all we have to do is be good soldiers, take the command, and walk. Join the army, you cannot go contrary to what within the armed forces. You can't go contrary to what the sergeant or the command is. Do your job. But we as good soldiers need to do our job. Christian soldiers need to do our job. Take the commands and walk accordingly. Don't add or subtract. Don't let your mind slip. Your mind's a terrible thing to waste. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And you know, teaching is a very valuable thing. It's not a one, let me say one thing, keep rolling. Let me give you a test, keep rolling. No. Teaching is that you have to give them the information. And then you have to evaluate, has the information really seeped in? And you have to also be able to test it to show where it is, where they've got the information. But once they grasp the information, now it's on them to hold on to the information. But you must make sure that the teaching is unadulterated, and it's not, it's pure, and it's not a hybrid. The day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and may instruct their children. God wants them not scared of him, but scared not to follow him. He wants them to reverence him. Now God not only speaks to Moses, but he said, I want you to bring them together so that they may fear me. Assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me. When you hear God's word, look at the formula. When you listen to God's word and you hear God's word, not only audibly, but also visually, when you hear God's word, it should cause you to learn to reverence God. God's word should always take you back to God. You should want more of God. And God wants more of you, this is rich. Assemble the people. Get the folks together, Moses. Bring them before me. He wants them to come together before him. Unite them, and I will let them hear my words. So there may be some issues going on with them mentally or questions, you know, because they're learning Israelites, but you bring them together. And let them hear my words, God said, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and may instruct their children. God wants them to experience something, a calamity that will never happen again, so that they can teach their children. This is what he did with Israel. And Moses and more at Mount Horeb. You came near and stood at the base of the mountain blazing with fire, into the heavens and enveloped in a dense black cloud. Then the Lord spoke to you from the fire. You kept hearing the sound of the words, but didn't see a form. There was only a voice. He declared his covenant to you. He commanded you to follow the Ten Commandments, which he wrote on two stone tablets. That's what I love about the book of Deuteronomy. It's really a summary of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. It's now summarizing what you read in four books and putting it all together in a Reader's Digest version here in the book of Deuteronomy. So that we can see clearly the direction, the whole form of what God would have for us to do. Look at that. Let's go back to verse 11. You came near and stood of the mountain, Mount Horeb, a mountain blazing with fire, into the heavens and enveloped in a dense black cloud. I don't know if that means it was a volcanic scenario there or not. I have to take a little more deep look into that. But he said there was fire on the mountain. Come on now. Fire on the mountain. A purifying mountain. Mountain is high. God is high. God's purifying fall. Because of what is being burned up. It's now being molecules. So it's being enveloped in a dense fog. And the Lord spoke to you from the fire. God speaks to you from a purifying fire. Hearing the sound of the words, but you didn't see a form. You heard God, but you can't see God. Today we hear God, but we can't physically see God. There was only the voice of God. The word of God is right now. The Lord spoke to you from the cloud. So we broke you from the fire. You kept hearing the sound of the words, but you didn't see a form. There was only a voice. He declared his covenant to you. He commanded you to follow the Ten Commandments, which he wrote on two stone tablets. At that time, the Lord commanded me to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to follow in the land you are about to cross into. God gave you the direction. He gave you the guidelines. He says, now Moses, teach them the guidelines. Teach them the rules that they are to follow in the land they're about to cross into and possess. You're teaching and grasping of the teaching comes before you're crossing over into the land or the area God has for you. Let's make it a little more clear. You want a promotion on a job. Well, you have to start doing that job before you get the job. Oh, you know, many times, I don't know, you give me the job first. You give me the pay. How much is paying? You give me that first, and then I'll start to do. No. I need to see that you're competent. From a managerial standpoint, I need to see that you're competent enough to handle what it is you're about to cross over into. Before I hand the reins, before I give you the key, the responsibility that comes with that. God says, teach them, Moses, what I'm about to give them. Teach them how to act, how to walk, the rules and regulations. Don't step out. Teach them the boundaries. And see, that's our problem today, folks. We don't want to stay within the boundaries that God has given us. You're hungry. Here God has provided food for you. I don't want that. Hold it. You are hungry. When a person is really hungry, you ever seen someone hungry? They don't choose what it is that they get. I've seen people go to the garbage can because they had there all night long and pull out half a pop to somebody and use to a straw because they don't even know what, they ain't worried about sanitation. They're thirsty. Eating a piece of sandwich has been thrown away. They're looking for anything to curb that hunger for survival. Now it's a survival thing. When we get to the point of the God's word is part of our existence. It's a survival thing. We won't be menuing God. Oh, God, we want this, but we don't want that. Give me the salad without the tomatoes. Give me your word that can you take this out? No, God. No, man, that does not work. God has given you it perfect, and you must take it that way. And so the teaching helps us to be able to learn. And once we learn, we've been molded into what God would have for us to be. Now we can cross over into it and the responsibility as well. That's why you have to go through HR before you receive the benefits. You have to do the learning and show that you understand the learning. A lot of times in today's society, it's a video learning. These are the rules. This is what you can do. This is how much you can spend. Why? Because they're going to trust you with certain things, trust you with money, trust you with decisions, trust you with the lives of people, trust you with resources. And these are the guidelines they have set for them because it all comes from an ultimate pot, but they have to cover a whole bunch. And this is what you have to deal with. Can you stay below budget? Can you stay within the guidelines? Can you show us how that you can be trusted? You go on your job and they give you vacation time and sick time. Do you use up all your sick time? Well, if you're sick, do you use up all your vacation time? Or do they let you roll some over? You show them your value when you allow it to roll over a couple of days. You don't use up everything. You show them how much you appreciate what it is you have by not maximizing it. But I didn't say minimizing it, but you're living within your means. Same with our credit cards. God has given us credit. When you maximize it and you don't take care of the top limit, don't take care of it all, then all of a sudden the interest comes in, all of a sudden you find yourself behind. Well, I've been there. I know what that's about. That's why you have a limit, but we don't ever want you to spend the whole limit. Because all that's being monitored. Well, if you need money, then they want to see that you have money and you don't need it. Then they will be more than willing to give you a loan. But when you need money that you don't have and you don't have it to come in, they push you back. They won't give to you. It's a tough scenario. Well, God wants us to be able to understand, live within the guidelines that he gives us, then to try to portray the people. Because just like here, they hear the voice. They hear the words. You can recite all that. You can talk to them like they're blue in the face. They hear it, but they don't see God. And see, because you can't see God, you don't really have doubt that he exists. These Israelites, at the foot of the mountain of Mount Horeb, mountain as big as it is, fire and black smoke. They're hearing a voice out of the fire. They're not seeing an image. But they're experiencing something. God don't want you to, you shouldn't have to see an image to obey God. God has given you life. And he wants you to live it abundantly. That means you're supposed to have the advantage. But how can you have the advantage when you choose to live
to live disadvantagedly. That means you choose to not follow God, or you choose to follow a portion of God. You want to do it your way, not his way. Well, I'm here to tell you today, if it's not your way, if it's not God's way, it's no way. If God ain't driving you, if God ain't leading you, you might as well not even follow. Because as we read in the last chapter, God will be disappointed with your hesitation, so much so that he will let you die in the wilderness until all those that are hesitatingly dying in the wilderness before he allows your lineage to go forward. His plan will continue to go forward. But you and I may miss the promised land if we follow God hesitatingly, or we don't follow him at all. This is Rich. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. He came near and stood at the base of the mountain, a mountain blazing with fire into the heavens, and enveloped in a dense black cloud. I see you, Terry Henderson. Praise God for you, Doc. Then the Lord spoke to you from the fire. God speaks to you from a purifying place, a high purifying place. Speaks to you from the fire, the light, the bright light. You kept hearing the sound of the words, but didn't see a form. There was only a voice. He declared his covenant to you. He commanded you to follow the Ten Commandments, which he wrote on two stone tablets. At that time, the Lord commanded me to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to follow in the land you are about to cross into and possess for your own good. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, Lord. This is for our own good. Be extremely full of care. Be extremely careful, because you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire at Horeb, not to act corruptly and make an idol for yourselves in the shape of any figure, a male or female form, or a form of any beast on the earth, any winged creature that flies in the sky, any creature that crawls on the ground, or any fish in the waters under the earth. All these images God created. So he don't want you to, he don't want us to have something physically tangible in front of us so that we will follow. He wants you to follow the command. The image in front of you, the word of God. And if the word of God is not significant enough for you to follow it, then you lose automatically. He's not accepting any idol worship. Look at what the text says. Deuteronomy 4, chapter 15. For your own good, be extremely careful. See, that means that we have a problem. Sometimes we find ourselves in this situation. Sometimes, let me see, Daniel. Sometimes we find ourselves doing things we should not be doing. So this is for our own good. Be extremely careful. Watch and guard yourself. Remember, that's what he said up in the ninth verse. Guard and diligently pay attention to your mind so that you don't slip. Now he says, be extremely careful. God is taking steps to let us know through this chapter with different synonymous direction that it is imperative and critically crucial that we understand to the very dot and iota what God would have for us to be. Do you handle God's word with care? Are you listening this morning with care? This is not my words. These are the words God gave to Moses for Israel at the foot of Mount Horeb. And we're reading the collection of words that God established with them. That's still for our own good today in 2020. This will help us deal with the coronavirus of our lives today. It's not just a pneumonia issue. There is a virus of our mind. That's why I said, don't let your mind slip. Guard yourself. Protect yourself. And what is the protection? The protection comes by living within the boundaries that God gives you. If you stay within the financial range that God gives you, you'll never be broke. You'll always have surplus. You'll always have money for a rainy day. It's when you become outside those boundaries that you are unbalanced. It's also true in our relationships and our relationship with God. God wants us to have a pure relationship with Him. But the only way for you to have a pure relationship with God is that you know that God is God. And so you don't need anything else. You can't worship bulls. You can't worship goats. That blood won't be no good for you anyway in today's covenant. We need to understand, you don't need a formation in front of you. You need God's word more than anything. When you get bored, read God's word. When you're happy, read God's word. When you're confused, read God's word. God's word is for all situations, all crises. And all joy. Do you find joy in God's word? Do you find strength in God's word? When you're weak, read God's word. When you're strong, read God's word. When mama won't hear you, read God's word. When daddy won't hear you, read God's word. When your children acted up, read God's word. Well, you don't know with your grandchildren which way they're going to turn with the decision they made because you've trained them, but now they have a mind of their own. Read God's word. Let God's word keep you. It will keep you established. And it will keep you as long as you live within the boundaries. So that you will be a pillar. You will be able to stand in the midst of a society of people that don't can't stand around you. And God wants us to come together. Those of us that claim that we are believers of it, we need to show strength. We need to quit whimpering and crying and breaking down as if we can't handle the situation. God says, I've given you what you did. Suddenly you messed up. But now it's your responsibility to fix it. Don't put your blame and your issues on other people. Man up. Woman up. Child up. Look up. So he can fire you up. Huh. Lord, help us. Help us. Verse 15, for your own good, be extremely careful. I like the adjective used. Don't just be careful. Full of care, where there's no reason, there's no room for anything else. But understand the severity of carefulness. Walk with kid gloves, because you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire of Horeb. You didn't need to see a form. Not to act corruptly or make an idol for yourselves in the shape of any figure. Good to see you, Jeanette. A male or female form, you don't need that. You don't need a form of a beast on the earth or any winged creature that flies in the sky. You don't need anything that crawls on the ground or waters or fish in the sea under the earth. When you look to the heavens and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the array of heaven, do not be led astray to bow down and worship them. God says, even the things I created that allow you to exist in the firmament, in the heavens, sun, who brings light on the earth, warms the earth, who energizes the earth, who solarizes the earth, the moon, who is a reflector of that fireball, who gives you light at night, stars, the twinkling stars, planets, all the array of heaven. Don't be led astray to worship them or bow down to them. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. God is concerned about everyone, those that believe, those that don't believe, those that are just, those that are unjust, those that cry out to him and those that won't cry out to him. He still brought provision for all mankind. But I love the last part of this. Look at this now. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. Look at verse number 20. But the Lord selected you. What? Don't miss your shout this morning. The Lord selected you and brought you out of Egypt's iron furnace to be the people for his inheritance as you are today. How do I understand this? Before the D.C. text in a 20th century A.D. environment, God has selected you, and he brought you out of the iron furnace of Egypt. What does he mean, the iron furnace of Egypt? The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were making bricks without straw. They were under the. They were giving so much. They had so much away that there was so much in Egypt because of the flourishes of the Nile River and the abundance that was there. But yet they were under such strict restrictions. Pharaoh was very. Was very gracious with them, but it was also very dictatorship. And God told Moses, you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he used 10 plagues. The different plagues were a different God that God showed power over. Until the last one was, he took the firstborn and to Pharaoh finally let him go. That was the iron furnace. Couldn't break through. But God broke it down. Pharaoh let him go. Then he realized what he was doing, started following him, and they all died in the leaf of the ear of the Red Sea. Can't remember if it was Suez or Occupy this time, but they all died in the sea. You remember the story? Moses standing there with the staff in his hand, nothing but water in front of him. All the Israelites were all their way was behind him. Mountains on both sides, and they're being pursued by Pharaoh behind them. They can't go forward, there's water. They can't go to the sides of the mountain. They can't go back because there is Pharaoh. They're in a precarious situation. And they look like there's nowhere to turn. And Moses says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parted the ear of the Red Sea like an elevator. The waters rolled back. He used the wind and the waters rolled back. And they walked across on dry land. They walked across the water on dry land. No one's feet were muddy. No one's feet got stuck. There was no gravity. They would be able to be swift. They got through. The same access that God used to get them to cross over is the same entrapment that he used to take the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's chariots and militia was there after them. So they saw them going across the dry land and the sea walled up like an elevator. And so they pursued them. Isn't it interesting that when the last Israelite got on the dry land, no more on his feet, that as the sophistication of the wheels and the horses and because they made a 3 days journey on them. When they got out into the drive into the land, all of a sudden, the water, the dry land started to become red again. The wheels got stuck. And the elevator door of water enclosed on them, and they all drowned. God can take the very entrapment of those that are after you and take them out in the very escape path that he has for you. He says it's for our own good. I don't think I'm going to get past this one chapter today. He says for your own good, be extremely careful because you do not see any form on this day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire at Horeb, not to act correctly and make an idol for yourselves. You don't need an idol. You need God's word. God's word is more than an idol. God's word is more than anything tangible in your hands or tangible in any picture on the wall. God's word is what you need to see. Matter of fact, if you need a picture on the wall, take the scriptures and put it within a frame and put it on your wall or put it on your refrigerator. Tack it to your head. Carry it with you. Put it on your lips. The scriptures is what we need, not an image. You need no idols. You need no pictures. You need no forms in a male and female. You need no beasts on the earth, no winged creatures that flies in the sky, no creatures that crawls on the ground. You don't need no fish in the waters under the earth. You don't need no image of that. You don't need even the image of the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're all significant. They're all the array of the heavens. They're all God. They will lead you astray from God if you bow down and worship the Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. But the Lord selected you. Boy, that's my shouting moment. That's my joy moment. That's my winning over the coronavirus moment. The Lord selected me. He chose me. He chose you and I out of the fiery furnace, out of Egypt's iron furnace to be a people for his inheritance, as you are today. What does that mean? God wants you. He don't have to have you. He wants you. That's why he chose you. Our biggest problem is we find ourselves running to folks who don't even want to be with us, don't want us. God wants you. He chose you. He selected you. for this experience, for this situation. Why? Because he can show glory through it. There's another fiery furnace that comes further on in the prophetic books of Daniel. Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. They were bound. They were captured because they would not obey the traditions of the land. They were different than those that were around them. They stayed as a remnant under the good graces of God. It did not keep trouble from coming their way, but it kept trouble from overtaking them. What are you saying? They were bound. They were thrown mightily beyond their force, with force, into a fiery furnace that was turned up seven times hotter, that even the people that threw them in incinerated. They cremated right there on the spot. And in the fiery furnace, yet the fire has no effect on them. Nebuchadnezzar is bewildered. He cannot believe what he's seen. He's talking to all the smart people around him, so to speak. Says, you saw what I saw. Didn't we throw three in the furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Didn't we throw all of them in the furnace? Yes, we did. So why is it when I look in here, I don't see three? I see those that I chose to throw in, the ashes are in front of us. They disintegrated before me. The fire was turned up seven times hotter. They're in the furnace. There's no question that they're in the furnace. They went in bound head to toe. But I see them loose, walking around, having a good time. But I don't see three. I see four. And one look like the Son of Man. Do you understand that only the fire, only the true fire can handle the power of the fire that keeps it from overpowering you? The Son of Man is our fire repeller. Not only is that, he is our aromatherapy, he is our perfume. Because he hollered at them and said, come on out of there. And they came out with a glow. He shined them up. They weren't bound, they were loose. They were having a good time, showing great joy. He says, but the fire didn't overpower them. And he worshiped God because of that. Don't let the iron furnace, don't let the situation of coronavirus or any virus keep you from being able to praise your God. God chose you. God selected you. God wanted you. That's why he brought you out. He wanted to be married to you. And his marriage is to the mind, so that you will walk according as you are today. Look what God says about Moses in verse 21. The Lord was angry with me on your account. He swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. I won't be crossing the Jordan because I'm going to die in this land.
but you are to cross over and take possession of this good land. Folks, you can't stop death. People will come and people will go, but God's inheritance will roll on. Take possession of what God has given you in the good land. Be careful not to forget. Look at verse 23. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you, and make an idol for yourselves in the shape of anything he has forbidden you. Don't do it. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. If you've ever been around a jealous person, you got the job and someone else didn't, they were jealous. You got the girl and someone else didn't, he was jealous. You got the man and someone else didn't, they were jealous. You got the last of something and somebody didn't else get, they were jealous. Jealousy causes anger. How you deal with the anger, destructively or destructively, is what's important. We serve a God that's a consuming fire. We serve God that's a jealous God. I'm not going to get any further this morning. We'll pick up at the 25th verse of the book, of the fourth chapter of the book of Numbers. I couldn't even get through a full chapter. So much is in here today. We've heard God's word. Your mind should be strong on God's word. God has helped us to see some things today. Let's take it the way God wants us to have it, not the way we choose to do it. It's prayer time. You need prayer? Let's type it in. Or to talk about prayer, just call it in. You can call in right now, 516-666-9969. We'll talk to you right this very moment. Let's go to God in prayer. That number again is 516-666-9969. Call it right now. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you this morning thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for the rain and for the pain. Thanking you for God's word, for the word of God is more important to us than anything that can be any formation that could ever come. Word of God must be more important than any idol that we could ever make, than any image that could ever be brought. Thank you, God. We thank you, God, for we know that your word helps us in our time of need. And right now we're in need. This world is in need. This city is in need. This household is in need. We're all in need because there is such a hysteria around the coronavirus and the strain that's out there. We pray, Father, that you allow the antidote to come forward and that will the panacea that will come forward that will be able to calm the people's minds, for they're going batty over this coronavirus. We ask you, Father, to continue to help us in our daily walk, our daily talk. We're praying that you continue to keep us strengthened in our daily walk. Praying today for my mother. I ask you to continue to be with her and bless her in days, ways you know she stands in need of. Give her a long life. Extend her life. It's twice as long as you have so far. Father, if it be possible, I'm asking you, Father, to give her good health. Give her the influence that she needs to continue to encourage folks, not only on Facebook and through Facebook Lives, and but those that she has had influence over and those that she has helped to teach, to stay on track with your word. Praying for Terry Henderson today. I ask you to be with Terry and bless him away and stand in need. I'll be with the families. Be with Janetra Danny as well. Bless them and keep them away as they stand in need of, and others that are on that I can't see in this new format that they have, this producer format that they have, live producer here on Facebook. But Lord, I am asking you to help us in our daily walk, and we thank you for the words that you've shared with us, the power of Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 25. We pray that we'll be able to finish that book tomorrow, well, on Monday. We pray that this will be enough to carry us through this day, that keeps us strong. I ask you to be with my wife today, Father, mine from slipping. I ask you to continue to keep her strong till the next project you have for her comes forward. Allow her to enjoy this time of rest and to take it, not take it for granted, but to spend time getting to build a better relationship with you, a more deeper relationship with you, that we all recognize that time belongs to you, and when you give us a pause in our lives, that it gives us time to really reflect on how we are and to regroup in our relationship with you. I'm asking you to bless us as we are approaching our anniversary of 14 years on the Illinois books and almost 18 years of knowing one another, about 17 years of actual interaction and dating. I'm asking you, Father, to continue to bless us and keep us. I like to count all my time because I understand that's how, it's not the way they put it on the Illinois books, but as I read the Bible, and I see Rebecca and Isaac, and I see when they come together, these are the things that you have connected with. And as you know, Lord, I've honored every step of the way. I'm praying, Father, that you will keep us strong as we go forward and as we continue to help others to see you in the pardon of their sin, to be encouraged by you, to walk with you, to not be fearful, but to stand with you. Praying for our family, near and wide. Praying for Mom Linda, praying for Angie and Deja, the Gator Girls, praying for Jazz and Patrick and Patrick's children, praying for Felix and Skirky and Paul and Irv, that should be with their families accordingly, with Mary Walker and with Mary Floyd, that should bless them and keep them the way they stand in need of, and all the families respectively, my sister-in-law Alice, Shonda, Savannah, and DJ, praying for D'Angelo and the mother of his child that's to be, and then praying for his child to come, that you're filling in the wound. Father, I ask you to continue to bless them and keep them away as they stand in need of. And all the derivatives thereof, I'm praying for my daughters, Juanita and Nicole. I ask you to bless them and keep them away as they stand in need of. Praying for my sisters, Lois and Phyllis, Betty and Larry, Jimmy and Michelle, Dion, all the derivatives thereof, bless them and keep them, all the children accordingly. Prayer for Shanice and Sharon, that should be with my sisters and their families according. Praying for Tyrone and Darnell, Mose and Damien. Bless them and their families according. Father, I ask you to continue to be with my Aunt Sandra. I spoke with my mother about yesterday. Bless her and keep her. Help her, my Aunt Tanya as well. Because maybe just the reality of lost parents is sometimes difficult as the days go on. Praying, Father, that you, as I understand today, she's been reading and trying to stay as spiritual as she can. I'm praying that she stays on this side, Father. I ask you to honor my prayer today for my Aunt Sandy, my Aunt Sandy, my Aunt Tanya, Alex Howell, Kevin Howell, and all of them.
bless them and keep them away as they stand in need. I'm praying for my family here in Chicago, Carmel and Jackson and Toy and Brianna and Deborah, all of them accordingly, Tim and et cetera, Bill and Helen out in Las Vegas. Bless them and keep them away as they stand in need. I'm praying for my cousin, Wee and Michelle and Families Derivatives. I'm praying for Daryl and Jody and Families Derivatives and just all PBs in general. Father, I ask you just to be with, cover them all in ways that you know we rarely stand in need of. Praying today, Father, that you help us to look to the hills from where the fire is at. Let us get fired up. Let us be purified for you. That we don't allow the viruses of the world to penetrate us. That you will continue to give us that glow and give us that shine. That we will walk in the boundary that you have for us so that we can live the abundant life. That you will tear down the walls of destruction and the walls of depression, the walls of poverty, and that you will help us to climb out and to shine in this world. We pray that the word of God will, whoever's listening to it, that it will have an effect on them this morning that they've never had before. And I'm asking you, Father, continue to bless us and keep us in ways we greatly stand in need of. Special prayer for Satire and King. Ask you to bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of down in the, I believe they're in the Texas area. King Baby is what she calls it. And all the derivatives thereof. Father God, and as I get ready to close this out, I'm asking you to help Chicago, help Iowa, help the United States, help the world, help China, help all of us deal with this pandemic they have going on. But we know that if we study your word, that there's been plagues far and near, and it just shows your power to reach those that are powerful that don't think that they can be touched. Let us recognize how feeble we are and how big you are. We love you, we adore you, and this is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Good to have you today. Do something for somebody that can't repay you for it. Give them Jesus Christ and crucify. Have a great day in worship tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Look forward to seeing you all then, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, for our worship here at Golgotha Church of Christ. And then we'll talk to you Monday morning, hopefully bright and early around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And we do our start in again at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. And find out some more things about God that we need to learn as we go forward in our daily walks to be fortified for that day. Thank you, Lord, for selecting us. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. Thank you, Lord, for wanting us. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Good night. Good morning. Whatever time it is.